this new day we have today. I was reading Psalm 65, and the Lord spoke to me some things I want to share with you today. It's a psalm full of praises. David is writing his psalm and expresses his gratitude and his thoughts for what God is doing in his temple, for what God is doing on the earth. And I have learned a few things from there that I just want to share with you today. I'll just start reading the psalm. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grassland of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. It's a nice, beautiful psalm that David was had composed and was writing. And it tells about God and also about how God works in this on this planet, how he causes everything to grow and to flourish and to be abundant and blessed. And this is all good and beautiful when we look outside. But we know that God meant this word to be meaningful to us. So we look outside and we see some things, but they are somehow supposed to teach us some things. I remember when we lived in Idaho, our daughters were little. They did not know, and they were so surprised when we took them on the fields of Idaho after the machine goes and they pick up the potatoes. They let people, the locals, go and pick up the leftovers. And they were so surprised to see that potatoes come from the ground. They thought it comes from the Walmart. You know, it's like, wow, is that how things work? And for kids, we think that's funny. We look at them. But spiritually, I think God intentionally, he put around us the nature that works in a certain way. And we look at that and we see, wow, that's amazing. And God says, that's kind of how I want your life to be like. When I look around and I see all these trees and crops and everything that grows and everything is beautiful, God says, I want your life also to be like that, fruitful, and you have to bring a lot of fruit. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus actually talks about like the sower who came out to plant the seed, and then he connects that to people, to our lives. So we're not just talking, we're not in agriculture class here. We are here to hear from the Lord what he wants to say about our heart. So today I want to share three conditions of our heart that I find in this psalm in order to be fruitful. I see that in my life, and I see that that's probably helpful for all of us to learn that. When I look in the first four verses, when David is talking about God, I see a heart that is restored. A heart that is cleaned, that's forgiven, that's filled with joy and praise. And he says, Lord, you just, I want to praise you, Lord, for what you do. And he says, you answer prayer. I'm just, whenever sin is just coming after me, when I'm overwhelmed with sin, Lord, you forgive me. So that's the first condition of our heart that I see. If I want to bring fruit before the Lord, if I want my life to be filled with God's presence and just to flourish like a garden, like a good garden, the first thing that I learned from here is that my heart needs to be right, needs to be clean from all these debris and garbage and rocks and whatever that Satan is throwing in my heart. That's what I see in David. He just says, Lord, thank you. Do you think David had some things in the past to remember that he was not proud of, that he repented? Oh, yes. He had a lot of them. But yet when I look at him, he is not like condemned, depressed, and just discouraged. And he comes and says, well, I'm not sure if today's God is happy with me or David accepted God's forgiveness. And David was completely restored. And he comes in God's presence with just a good heart. And he says, thank you, Lord. You are so amazing. I love you, Lord. And that's how he expresses his love for what God does for him. Brothers and sisters, praises cannot come out of a stressful heart or a guilty heart or maybe somebody who's not secured. I don't see that. Usually people, when they're scared or they're afraid, usually they don't sing. They just stay quiet. And they don't like a lot of these like things to go around, like, you know, because they are afraid. So I see how Satan sometimes wants to bring that in our lives, in my heart, that, you know, just to throw all this like condemnation and all this stuff, and God cannot use me if I am just accepting all that stuff. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go, we lived about an hour and a half from the capital, from Chisinau. So my dad, we don't drive often there, but whenever we have to go, and you know, it takes about an hour and a half to drive, but when we get closer to enter the city, it's a big city, a lot of traffic, a lot of things going on. So my dad, when we come closer to the city, he says, okay, we have to shut off the music, nobody talking, I need to focus. Primarily, like, you know, he cannot miss anything. And I was thinking about that, like, well, in that case, I cannot say he was stressed or he was, but he could not sing. He could not talk because he was focused, very focused. That's a good thing. But at the same time, I think, like, sometimes Satan is just causing all this noise and all this distraction in our lives, and we cannot praise God. We are just so focused on what's going on around us. We cannot say, thank you, Lord. And just our heart is not at rest. So God can put the best seed and the Word of God can just be so available to us. But if our heart is not clean, is not forgiven, is not restored, is not at peace with God, there's not going to be any way we're going to produce something there. So we have to come before the Lord with this clean heart. And if these rocks there, if there's debris, if there's something that from the past, Satan is harassing you. Maybe something you did yesterday, or a year ago, or whatever, I don't know how long time ago. God promised, he says, if you confess your sin, I will forgive you. And I will not remember that sin no more. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's a good promise from the Lord. When he says in Hebrews, that's when he talks about the new covenant, he says that I will not remember your sin no more. And I'm so grateful for that. I remember as a kid we played so much outside. I grew up in a village on a street, and we did not have like lights during the night, just only one pole that had a light in the middle of the street. And it happened to be that that house right there was right across from our house, and the guy, the man that lived there, he was a very good gardener. I mean, the television, like the national television, came to his home to take interview. Because the tomatoes, the potatoes, the flour, you name it, his garden was like the Garden of Eden. I mean, very, he knew some secrets. I don't know how he did it, but he was very good at that. Very good. But he was very strict with us. He was an older man. Every morning he'd get up, we just lived across from him. Every morning, like 5 a.m. or something before the sunrise, he goes and takes the water from the well. He goes and waters and everything and makes sure everything is good and everything is perfect. It was just amazing. And we just lived very close to a bigger city. So his wife would go and sell the product, and his product stood out. You could see that. Something was special about that. But I'll tell you one thing. When we played outside, and usually gets dark, because that was the only light on the street, we used to play right there next to his garden. It was like a big, maybe, I don't know, 5 feet fence. And we play with whatever, the ball or something. And God forbid, the ball goes in his garden. Nobody wanted to jump and go, but somebody had to do it. Because we knew sometimes he was just staying there watching us. And sometimes he was just, you know, destroying the ball or whatever. It was very strict. Cutting off or something like that. And I have learned a lesson from that. Like, do I watch my heart like that? Or is it Satan constantly jumping the fence, throwing rocks, throwing debris, plastic, trash, whatever, and just make my heart not useful for God? What stops me from producing this fruit in my life? What is it? What is it? And maybe I'm not careful. I want to be like this neighbor that I had. Very careful, not mean with kids or, you know, like that, but in the good sense that I want to watch my heart more than anything. And I can tell you that God never intended my heart to be filled with fear or condemnation or unbelief or discouragement. God wants my soil of my heart to be fruitful, to be very good for Him to use. And I pray that this will be true for all of us. I remember watching, like, in Europe, soccer, where we call it football, but it's soccer, it's called here soccer. When people play, and we used to play soccer a lot, and whenever you do something, like, you know, you miss the goal or something, I was watching, somebody did like a psychological something, like a study on that. They just watching, whenever a player misses something, they all have like a certain movements of their body. You know what they do when they usually miss? It's usually they go like this, or they lift up the hands like that, and just, they can't believe I missed it. And I remember this, like, when I look at Jesus and I look at godly people, there is a natural reaction when something happens in their life. When something happens in my life, when I see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in pain. He was surrounded by all this pressure. And yet, he goes and prays to the Father. He is praying. Before that, he was singing. So I see that Christian usually, whenever they face trials, they don't go like this. Either they put the hands like this, or they say, Father, you are in control, and I praise you. So what I'm trying to say, that a stressful heart is not going to produce anything. We have to trust God with whatever we face in our life and say, Lord, I trust you, Lord, and I'm going to praise you because you're in control of my life. I cannot explain everything that's going on with my life, or with my family, or whatever is going on around me, but I trust the Lord, and I say, Lord, I will never let Satan come and just throw whatever he wants in my life. I will not do that. Remember in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about a man, the kingdom of God is like a man who came outside, and he was he sowed the grain for wheat, right? And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 and 26, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. this gardener just comes outside and he's just planting that seed. He's just waiting for wheat to grow. But when he was sleeping during the night, the enemy comes and he just plants a bunch of weeds there. And later he sees that, you know, this all comes together and they grow together. And he had a problem now. So what I learned from that was I have to be careful. What is Satan putting in my life? What is he trying to seed in my heart? And if I start to pay attention to that, it's going to produce, it's going to have some roots, and it's going to start to grow. And that fear that I probably had under control might grow so big, and I cannot produce anything if my soil, my heart is occupied with something else. So I want to be careful with that. There's a great promise. Verse 7 in this psalm, it says that the Lord is calming down. He who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The Lord can calm down if my heart is agitated, if it's full of all of this stuff that is not supposed to be there. God said, I can do that. I can calm down if you're worrying, if you are just stressed and if you just cannot control. God says, I can do that. I can come and calm down, and we praise God for that. If there is noise, distraction, fear in my life, I know God wants me to be calm and trust Him. Praise the Lord for that. I remember also watching this documentary about a plane that was hijacked. So in order for these special forces to come and release the hostages and to take those terrorists out, they have a plan to work. So the way they do it is they have to come somehow behind the plane so nobody sees them, but they have to cause some distraction, like for the terrorists. They are there in the plane, somewhere in the park, somewhere in the plane, on the airport, and the way that these special forces work is they cause like an explosion somewhere ahead, like, you know, in front of the plane somewhere. So these people can hear and see, and all their thoughts right now, right there, what's going on there, what's going on there? And while they're looking at that explosion, it can't just be some, I don't know, gasoline or something exploding there, like for no reason, but it just causes the distraction. And while they're looking there, the special forces, they go through the doors and they come inside. And while the chaos is going on, they attack and take the bad guys out. But I was looking a little bit different at this. And I see in my lives a lot of these explosions where Satan is just boom here, kaboom there. And you know, what's going to be with your children? What's going to be if this, if that? And my mind is not at peace. I cannot praise God or sing to God. All of a sudden, I just see worrying in my life. Like I cannot trust God anymore. So today, I thank God that He is able to calm down this storm in my life. In Isaiah chapter 57, there's a great promise. Isaiah chapter 57, starting verse 18. God says, I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel mourners, creating praise on their lips. That's what God wants to do. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace in the heart of a wicked man. So today, maybe we're not wicked or like, you know, we cannot accept sin in our lives and we say, well, I'm not like that. But maybe, maybe there is something else in my heart that I never thought as a sin or something that prevents my life to be fruitful before the Lord. And in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, God told them, like, this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Do not put the seed there. First thing is clean up the soil, take out the rocks, and then say, Lord, Here I am. Use me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I can offer you my life, my heart. And Lord, I'm not going to be distracted by all my sins, by all the fear that I face today. Lord, my heart is just filled with joy. And this soil is ready, Lord, for you to use it. There is no rocks. There is nothing, Lord, debris there. I want you, Lord, to use me. I have forsaken what's behind me. And I'm just looking forward. And God can use such a person. So let's learn this. The first condition for our heart is the heart to be restored, cleaned by God, taking all those rocks out, all that garbage out, and then our heart is ready for God to be used. But the second thing I want to share for the second condition of our heart, in order to be fruitful and to bring fruit before the Lord, is this heart must be soft or broken. In verse 10, we look here and it says, "You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops." The second thing is, like I said, and in Romanian it says, you are breaking, we're crushing the soil lumps. The soil becomes so hard, it's clean, but it's hard. And you cannot put anything there. Like I said in Matthew chapter 13, one of the conditions for of the soils that the seed was planted was one of them was rocky. Some seed fell next to the path and the birds just picked it up, and other seed just fell into the rocky ground. Others fell in the among the what is it in English? Thorns. Thank you. Thorns, and another one in the good ground. So one of the conditions was that the soil was hard. Not necessarily trashy, not necessarily rocks, it was just hard. And the second condition I see, and this is probably one of the hardest, is for God to soften the heart, the soil. There's two ways you can do that. There's a hard way, and there is an easier way. Usually, I grew up in a village, like you guys know, it's whenever we have to like go and prepare the soil, if it's dry, you just take an object, I don't know, like a, something very, whatever, like a shovel, whatever, something specific for that, and you just smash those rocky pieces of soil. And there's a lot of noise, a lot of dust involved, but there's a second way you can do that, and that's through rain, through water. There's no noise, there's no dust, and the soil becomes soft and ready to use. So what I learned from this for me is David had to be broken. His heart had to be softened. And sometimes it's not easy to give up and say, Lord, break my heart, Lord. Not in a bad way, like, you know, God is not going to cause hurt to you, but in the way that to soften it, not to be so confident and so like, okay, God, this is just going to be my way. Like to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm surrendering. Lord, you do it. I'm telling you a lot of these stories that they helped me to present the point. And one thing that I learned is a hard soil is very dusty. We grew up in a village where just the main road had like asphalt, like it was. The other one was not like, some of them had gravel, but most of the roads had nothing, just mud. Just like soil. So whenever the road is dry and the field is dry and the soil is hard, it is very dusty. So back in the day, maybe for the kids this is a surprise, we did not have a washing machine like most of us or all of us have today, like with the dryer and everything. My mom used to like wash the clothing. And after that, she squeezes everything, and then she puts like on the string outside or something, and she let it dry. And we just live like in the middle of the street, like a few houses on the left, a few houses on the right. And whenever my mom would hear like a car coming, driving down the road, and she sees the dust coming, usually people knew that, and they just drive slowly. But if there's a young driver, a careless driver, whatever who was, and just God comes, you know, like, not necessarily too, like, very fast, but fast enough to pick up the dust, all that work was just gone. Because all the dust is going to be on those clothing, those clean, everything there, and you have to start it over again. So that's a picture for me I learned, like, it's not fun to be around dry people. Many times when God is shaking me, like, God, the wind is just blowing in my life, what is it picking up? Is it picking up dust in my life? Do people have to, like, scratch their eyes? Like, you know, because it's not getting to your eyes everywhere. Or am I like that tree planted next to the water and just produces fruit? I want my heart to be soft. I want my heart to be filled with this rivers of water that comes from God. I don't want to be just dry because it causes a lot of trouble around me. I remember about 2 years ago, it was 2023 in May, there was a big accident in Illinois that happened. That happened on I-55. I usually drive weekly through that area. So there were like about 70 cars and trucks involved, and about eight people died. And the reason for that, it was daytime. It was nothing, you know, like icy or nothing. It was dry. It was perfect daytime, like 3 p.m. or something like that. I don't know exactly. But it was perfect conditions for driving. The thing was, like next to the freeway, there's like big farming fields. And the wind just blew, and all the dust came on the freeway, and people just smashed into each other. And people died. And there's chaos and all that stuff that happened. And this was because there was dust involved. The visibility was limited. People could not see. And I learned from myself. I said, Lord, I want to be like a soil that is not dry. That's not like picking up all this dust. We just learned about Shimei, the guy that cursed David, and he goes after David and talks about him, and that's in 2 Samuel chapter 16. The Bible says that he was throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt or dust. In Romanian it says dust. That's what happens if the soil is not properly saturated with water. We cannot produce fruit in our lives. God appreciates a heart that is broken. A person that says, Lord, if you see hard areas in my life, Lord, I want to be softened. I want to be like you, Lord. I don't want to be a harsh person. I don't want to have the last word all the time. Lord, make me kind. We just heard today somebody who shared, I want to be kind when I talk to this person. If I go to customer service, if I'm driving my car, if I speak to somebody, the cry of my heart is, Lord, I don't want to be a dry person that people don't want to be around. Lord, I want to be that soil that when you look at it, my country, Moldova, where I was born, is known for the type of soil. People call it black gold because it's so rich. And just look at it. And we just been a couple months ago. I have been in Moldova a couple months ago. You just see that black soil, and usually it's very, very good to cultivate for agriculture. So I want to be like that. And God says in Psalm 51, David is praying and says, the Lord, He does not despise a broken spirit or a broken heart. He does not despise that. And I want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, my heart, I want it to be soft before you, Lord. When you speak to me, I want to be quick to listen and gentle when I reply, the way I react, because it's easy to work with soft material or like soft soil. I also remember we tried to pull out, like we tried to replace or fix a fence. So we had to pull out this, a pole, right? A pole.
Post,
thank you, post. So it was dry and it was like, you know, very hard to get it out. So a couple guys like me would try very hard to lift it up. And there was a person, he's an engineer. So he comes there and he sees us working hard and he says, guys, just wait a second. We try like move it left, right, you know, just, you know, try to pull it down. And the guy says, just wait a second. He goes and grabs a couple buckets of water and just paused there. We did a couple more movements, it just came out like nothing. It's not just working my way or the hard way. Sometimes all we need is just the shower of God, the rain of God come upon us. And that's what changes us. And that's what makes us more to responsive and fruitful, and our heart becomes more useful for God. We are just like that clay that the potter needs to take, and first thing he does is just breaks it and softens it in water. May the Lord help us. I'll say the third thing that I learned, the third condition for my heart to be fruitful before the Lord, is my heart needs to be a dependent heart on the Lord. We're a blessed heart by the Lord. We look here and we see verses 9, 10, 11. Lord, you care for the land and water it. And then it says, Lord, you drench it. Lord, you crown the earth with your bounty. Lord, it's you who blesses. No matter how much I can, you know, prepare my heart and say, Lord, now I'm just going to be listening to you. And I clean up my heart. And Lord, there's no bad stuff in my heart that I'm hiding from you. It's still the Lord that He blesses us. I believe God could just make the soil get all the moist from the ground. Like, you know, no need for rain. He could make that. But I think there is a reason God allowed for the things to work this way in nature. This cycle of the water getting from the clouds, raining down, and watering the ground. And whenever we have to look for water, we don't look down, we look up and say, Lord, we look out unto you, Lord. It's from you, Lord, you have to bless it. Lord, from you comes all this. So this is the third condition. We depend on God. There is no like a secret magic solution for a happy life. If there is one, it's the one that you are connected always to God, to Jesus. Jesus said that in John chapter 15, verse 4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There is no way, since day one, a tree produces a fruit, an apple, whatever, until the last day, that tree is going to produce something. That apple is dependent on the tree. We cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's God that works in us. So there's always this reminder that, Lord, I want always to remember that I depend on you. As I speak to you, as we sing, as we pray, as we do something, it is the Lord. If he does not bless that, we just work in vain. Paul realized that. And he says, like, I'm trying to find the verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it to grow. It is God who made that. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So Paul knew that. He said, we cannot do that. We just plant the seed. We can water it. We can take care of it. But it's God who makes that to grow. So I remember that every time when I see things in my life, I say, Lord, I depend on you. Or if I share something with my daughter, or with my wife, or with anybody, I say, Lord, I cannot change a person. It is you, Lord, that produced the change. May we never forget that. Amen. I remember visiting the Botanic Garden. Is that how you say in Springfield? That place where they have a lot of flowers and everything. So when we visited that, you know what's amazing? We did not say, wow, what an amazing soil here. You know what we said? We just looked there and we say, wow, what amazing flowers. When you look at it, you don't say, wow, the soil, all the, you know, the worms and everything that's going underneath it, that's what's amazing. Well, we know that's what's causing that. But we are just focused on the flower. Whenever we see something, a good garden, we don't look and say, wow, that soil must be amazing. It is. But the whole purpose of that soil is to produce something. And the focus is on that, whatever, tomato, whatever it is, the flower. I want to be like that. Say, Lord, at the end of the day, I don't want it to be about me. It's about you, Lord.
Amen.
It's not me, Lord, that, oh, I want to just boast about this stuff. It's God that causes us to grow. Amen. It's Him that needs to get the glory. And David says, Lord, I just worship you. And he was thanking the Lord for that. So, brothers and sisters, when we come to church, we as a church, I hope we don't have that desire or that temptation in our mind that, oh, we want people to see something about us. If there's something good about us, it is Jesus.
Amen.
And we don't say that. I don't say that in a way like, you know, to just to say it because it's nice. I hope we realize that. That is Him that keeps us from falling. It's Him. I could be worse than the worst guy that is, I don't know, in prison today in here or somewhere. I'm capable of that. It is because I choose to humble myself before the Lord. And He says, as long as you stay under my protection, I'll protect you and I'll keep you safe. Praise the Lord for that. So this is what we need to learn, to have a heart that's dependent on Jesus. Never, never let His hand out. Just let's always stay to Him and say, Lord, I will never do something, Lord, unless you come with me. There's not a lot of secrets that we have to like figure out and stuff. If you plant a seed in a good soil, it is going to grow. God is going to cause it to grow. I heard somebody said, like, I'm sure this is an old guy, somebody said, a philosopher or something, that a tree grows in silence. When it breaks, when it falls up, there's a lot of noise. But when it grows, there's no noise, there's nothing, no pressure. You just plant the seed, and the tree grows in silence. Maybe we look in our lives and we say, well, maybe I don't see like a lot of things that I wish I would see them, like, you know, some dramatic changes in my life. Don't forget that God is working even though you don't see that. God is working as long as the environment is right and the soil is right and we do what we have to do on our side. God is going to cause that to grow and to produce fruit. I remember when Lori, sorry guys, I'm just going to confess our life before you hear, we just say a lot of things. But I hope they make sense when I shared that. Jesus used a lot of stories. When she cooks donuts, she takes the yeast and puts there in the flour and mix everything. And I know from my mom too that there has to be, for that yeast to grow, it has to be warm, right? As you cannot shake it a lot. And you just put it there and you cover it and it's just going to grow. And that dough is going to be so good for what you want to cook. And I remember that if my heart is just in the right condition before the Lord, there's no need for noise, no need for pressure, no need for, okay, like this and that. Just stay before the Lord. Worship Him. Praise Him. Focus on Him. And let's clean whatever God is showing in our lives. And let's accept when He wants to break us in areas in our lives where we need to break. And that is going to cause us to grow and be fruitful before the Lord. I will close with the promise that God told us, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. I'm not sure if any of you are feeling like your soil is dry, or you feel like, Lord, I was that person sometimes that was hard to be around. A lot of dust was coming from, like, whenever the wind was blowing, when we lived in Idaho, there's like a, there's this beet factory. They produce sugar there. And it's sugar is good, but it smells bad when it's in that if you are there. And whenever the wind was blowing in our direction, it was not pleasant. So whenever the wind is blowing in my life, Lord, what is it that I produce? Do people just feel the aroma of Christ, or they just see another version of me again, of my selfish life? And I see that promise here in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offsprings and my blessing on your descendants. That's a great promise. I want to believe it for myself. I want to accept and I say, Lord, I am thirsty and I am dry. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, please, let the fullness of Christ be visible in my life. Lord, I want that to be true in my life. I want, Lord, to get as close as I can to you on this life. Lord, make my life fruitful before you. Make my life fruitful before you. I don't know what the condition is. Sometimes, maybe somebody's heart needs salvation. Maybe there is a lot of weed, a lot of rocks, a lot of whatever garbage is there. God wants to clean that up. Or maybe the heart is clean, but I'm a stubborn person. I don't give up. And I say, Lord, but I don't understand this. This was a problem for me to understand church. What does it mean for a church to be a church? And I had to give up a lot of stubbornness, and God had to crush in me a lot of these things. And I thank God that He used water to do that. I humbled myself before the Lord. Sometimes it was noisy because God had to use some sharp objects to crush me because I did not want to accept that. But I thank God that I realized, and until the last day of my life, I want to say, Lord, it's not me. I depend on you. It's that flower that gets the attention, not the soil, not the worms. It's you, Lord. Amen.